Well, as we've heard this morning, another broadside attack against the Nationals' proposed $5 a tonne levy against the biggest iron ore miners has been launched, this time from the West Australian Greens. So you've just heard Robin Chappell said that it's a thought bubble, a media grab that doesn't stack up when you hold it up to closer scrutiny. Brendan Grylls is the leader of the West Australian Nationals and our local representative for the Pilbara. Brendan, good morning.
Good morning, Joseph. Thanks for having me on the program.
I understand you've just been in Perth where you've been making an address defending this tax. Robin Chappell's just told us that he believes that if it was put to a court challenge, this could actually be entirely dismantled or unpicked by the miners.
First, Robin Chappell's idea. He's one member of parliament. The West Australian Nationals have 12 members of parliament, and we believe that that you can change state agreements. It would be best if you could win the agreement of the miners to do that. That has been the history of these arguments. But, Joseph, you're seeing the Premier at the moment in putting forward to the miners his idea of cashing out the production rental, but the Premier is essentially negotiating with the miners around changes to their structure of payments. The Premier should be able to put those arguments to the miners, and the Premier is confident that they will agree. I ask your listeners to compare that, but if the Premier was putting the $5 a tonne plan to the miners, people would be confident that the Premier would win that argument. He is, after all, the elected Premier of the state. The Parliament is the ultimate decision maker, and the 1960 state agreements afforded enormous benefits to the miners. They were given major royalty discounts. They were given access to the best iron ore and free access to the ports and the like to facilitate the industry. Their response to that, the miners were supposed to build and maintain towns, develop a steel pellet industry and then a downstream steel industry. Most of that has not actually happened. Royalties for regions is what's been used to maintain the towns of the Pilbara. I believe that any close examination of the state agreements will see that, that the obligations required in them have not been met. And so if Robin Chappell believes that the miners can stand on state agreements, then you would expect the miners would have actually complied with the terms of those state agreements as laid out in the 1960s.
Well, the basic argument that Robin Chappell was putting forward wasn't so much about the state agreements, but that we've seen in other cases when companies have gone to court and they've said this state government is trying to place a tax, basically, on a stage of production. Federal courts have said states can't do that. So his concern he's raising is that because you're exacting this fee from a stage of the production process, it is classified as an excise rather than a royalty, and a royalty being a fee that someone pays for access to the minerals. So are you sure that this policy is legally watertight?
Well, if that was the case, why wouldn't the miners be opposing the 25 cents they pay now? This is an existing fee, 25 cents, it's in the state agreements. The Nationals have proposed that it be upgraded because it was never indexed, it was never increased over the life of those agreements. I think the fact that Robin Chappell believes that an existing fee that's already being paid by the industry wouldn't survive a High Court challenge fails to test that it does exist and they are paying it now.
But it's $120 million it brought in last year. If it was increased to $5, you'd be looking at $2.4 billion. There's a big difference there, and where there's that extra cost to miners, there's incentive, I guess, for them to try and challenge it in the courts.
Oh, well, you would expect that they probably will challenge it in the courts. I have no problem with the miners challenging it in the courts, but in that court process, you would have thought that if you want to stand on the one clause of the agreement that says the agreement can only be changed by mutual consent, that you would also need to be compliant with all of the other clauses about building and maintaining towns, delivering a steel industry, and the like. I don't think that that those agreements have been complied with. The state is very different now than it was in the 1960s. The newer entrants into the iron ore sector have a completely different set of rules that govern them by. David Flanagan has spoken publicly today, saying basically the system is unfair, and made that point coming from his previous leadership of Atlas Iron. This is an important debate for the state, Joseph. It's just a pity that people like Robin Chappell don't actually want to engage in the debate and seems to have slumped his shoulders and given up already.
Engaging in a debate, Brendan Grylls. He's raising a concern. I just want to finish off on this then. So you're confident that this wouldn't be defeated in court, because we know miners have deep pockets. We know they're not afraid to take governments to court and fight battles for years. And if the state did go down this path and then had a long, lengthy legal challenge and lost, it would be hundreds of millions of dollars lost with no gain.
So you don't know that. You're suggesting that that might be the outcome.
I'm saying if we lost it would be a bad thing. So how, I just want to get an assurance from you for people who are voting that you stand by the legal, I guess, watertight nature of this policy. You are confident that it will not be unpicked by courts if it was put in place.
So the Auditor-General reviewed state agreements in 2004. He made it very clear that that future parliament shouldn't be shackled by the terms of a 1960s agreement. That's available publicly to see. The resource sector relies on daily approvals from the Department of Environment, Lands, and all of the different agencies to function and for their businesses to continue. I actually think that if the will of the parliament was for an increase in the 25-cent production rental to $5 a tonne, it would be very difficult for the mining sector to oppose the will of the parliament. But again, that'll be questions you need to put to the mining sector. I would expect that this probably will be challenged in the courts. But again, when you take to the courts an agreement and say that we don't believe that the government is meeting its obligations under the agreement, you would have thought that the companies would be required to show that they've met their obligations under the agreement. And if they haven't met their obligations under the agreement, you could question the validity of the agreement as a whole.
Brendan Grylls, Mr. Chappell also claimed that it was hypocritical of you to have opposed a tax on super profits made by miners at the height of the boom, only to advocate a tax years after simply because the state budget is in need of repair. This was you in August 2010.
I think we're very concerned about the mining tax, and the reason we're concerned is that if it's most of these major projects rely on international finance to get off the ground, there's not enough money in Australia to fund the multi-billion-dollar projects which are underpinning the West Australian and national economy. If the new mining tax, which we oppose, goes ahead, we are worried that we scare that international capital market away from Western Australia and the projects simply don't go ahead. Creating a new tax, if it collapses investment, won't be a strong payday for Australia into the future.
Can you run us through why it was wrong then, but you believe it's right now?
Yes, I was concerned with that at that time. Now that I live in the Pilbara, that I'm very close to the industry, I understand the intricacies of the companies, their workforce, their profitability off the back of the downturn, the enormous effort the state has gone to facilitate that growth. I'm absolutely confident that that the production rental set at 25 cents in 1960 can be upgraded. I wasn't aware of that at the time of making that speech. I'm confident in future investment in the sector, given its profitability and given that there's been announcements by both BHP and Rio in the last couple of weeks around new investments in the area. They are the most profitable in the nation. And the other thing that your little grab didn't include was that the tax, the super profits tax, was going to be raised by Canberra. Given the fact that the GST is raised by Canberra, Western Australia pays $7 billion in GST to Canberra and gets $2 billion back, and that is why our budget is in the situation it's in. I was never confident that a new super profits tax raised by Canberra would be delivering any benefit to Western Australia, because the tax we've already got, called the GST, doesn't deliver the benefit to Western Australia it should, and that is why I opposed it. This tax is an existing 25-cent production rental. We're suggesting it be increased to $5 a tonne. It will be collected by Western Australians, so Western Australia could be assured that will be the full beneficiary of it, and my living in the Pilbara understanding of the industry allows me to be confident that that this can be progressed. And we saw today that David Flanagan, the boss of Atlas, has come out and supported what the Nationals are putting forward. That is good. The support I'm getting on the ground in the Pilbara is good. But Joseph, this will be decided in the election in March. For those people that don't agree with me or don't think that my ideas are good, they'll have the ability in March to voice their opinions at the ballot box, as it should be.
So, Brendan Grylls, you're saying that you understand the mining industry better now than you did in 2010. Putting aside your concerns about the revenue that was raised going to Canberra and never finding its way back to WA, from a policy perspective then, are you saying that there should have been some form of tax that returned some of those super profits that were being collected during the boom to the Australian public?
Well, I'm saying that in the 6 years since, the things have changed, and I'm now taking this position for it.
So
you would expect me as a politician to be studying the issues and putting forward ideas on how to solve them. I believe that Western Australia has a budget situation now which needs addressing, and if we don't address it, the collapse in investment will be from the government rather than the industry. And if government investment collapse collapses. That means that people coming off the Gorgon project and the Wheatstone project in the Pilbara looking for the next construction job will find it doesn't exist because government investment will have flowed. I don't want government investment to flow. I want to keep on building the infrastructure of growth for the state. And having a new revenue source is one way of enabling that to happen.
I understand everyone changes their view as time goes. I just want to try and establish then, do you think that it would have been a good idea for some form of Australian government, whether at federal or state level, to collect some of those super profits in 2010? Do you think if you could turn back time, you would try and handle that boom differently?
Well, you can't turn back time, and I didn't support that tax at the time. David Flanagan, a well-respected West Australian and junior miner, has said exactly the same thing, that he didn't support the tax put forward by the Commonwealth government, but is supportive of what the West Australian Nationals are trying to do now. Again, I'm always going to be judged on my opinions, what I've said in 2010, what I've said now, I'm happy to be judged on that, Joe.
Finally on this, Brendan Grills, the other criticism that Robin Chappell made was of royalties for regions. He said there's lots of great infrastructure that's been built, but he said that there's also money that's been spent on trinkets, and now that we've got a $4 billion deficit in the budget, we realise that we couldn't afford all of it.
What trinkets did he refer to?
He didn't go through a list of things, but I guess there are some things. I know that people in Headland have been saying there's a jetty that's got an upgrade, but the public can't actually access it, and they're wondering why Royalties for Regions money was spent on that. But I guess I was just wanting to give you an opportunity to defend the Royalties for Regions projects that were funded.
So two elections now, we've had a mandate to invest the royalty flows into regional development. We do that in hard infrastructure like water, power and sewage through Karratha. Everyone's seen the water reuse project, which was just launched at the golf course on the weekend. That's essentially recycling sewage to keep more green spaces in Karratha green. And we're launching a new Flying Doctor jet in the coming weeks. If you want me to defend Robin Chappell's view of trinkets, you would need to tell me what they actually were. The jetty that you're talking about in Port Hedland was an important piece of infrastructure. The argument was, were you allowed to fish off it, or would it be a piece of infrastructure for commercial activity? The decision was made by the Port Authority for it to be a commercial activity. I doubt you can make the argument that that a jetty for the commercial activities of the world's largest bulk export port would be a trinket, but if that's what Robin Chappell thought today, well, that's it.
Maybe not a trinket, but I know there are some locals who say, you know, wasn't Royalties for Regions meant to be for the general public to get the benefits of, you know, mining profits that were being generated? You know, why can't we then access this piece of infrastructure, this project, which was built with that money?
Well, again, I'm sure I'm not going to have 100% of people that agree with every project, but I'm very comfortable to stand by every single project that we talked about. Most of the word trinket is linked to two projects. One was the automatic bathroom facility at Kambana Bay in Bunbury. There's about 150 of those automatic toilets there, the Exaloo ones, which that are self-cleaning and self-maintaining and stop antisocial behaviour. There's hundreds of them across the state. Royalties for Regions funded one and was criticised. The other project that was criticised regularly was the cow parade. That was a fundraiser where they painted the plastic cows in Margaret River. That project raised $450,000 for charity. Kawara Muff have built off the back of that project and is now called Cowtown and have their annual festival. And just last week I saw that Perth has actually got the cow parade back and that those painted cows will be distributed around Perth. Can I ask your listeners if you think that funding the cow parade with Royalties for Regions was funding trinkets in Margaret River, let's wait for the outcry and the outrage when the cow parade takes its place in Perth. I bet you hear no criticism, Joseph, because the critics of Royalties for Regions aren't about the individual projects. They'd just rather not spend money in regional Western Australia. We've fought that hard, and we stand by every project we've funded.
Brendan Grills, always great to talk to you. Thank you for making time to have a chat to us this morning.
Thanks, Joseph. Cheers.
That is Brendan Grills. He's the leader of the West Australian Nationals and the Pilbara MP. I'd love to hear from you if you'd like to join the conversation. 1300 510 222. What do you make of that decision you're going to have to make next March about who to vote for and which policies you support? Are we right to be pursuing an extra tax on the mining industry? Or you can text on 0448 922 604. Ken is in Wickham. Morning, Ken.
Yeah, good day, mate. I don't know what Mr. Grill, I shouldn't be calling Mr. Grill. because I'm older than him, and he should be respected my age, actually. I don't know where he's coming from. My understanding is, wasn't the mining companies that built a lot of the towns around, including Karratha, and some of the roads?
Sorry, wasn't the... Ken?
Didn't the mining companies build some of the towns, including Karratha, and some of the roads?
Yeah, that's correct. In the early years, certainly, the mining companies put a lot of infrastructure down.
That's correct.
And what's your...
And you want to go and sit on the toilet, the singing toilet. Marvellous. $500,000 worth. Very good.
Okay.
That's where stupid some of his money went. I've got a property, and basically, there's gravel roads around our property, and won't ever be sealed. I've got a designated road. Won't ever be a designated road. Why can't we spend the money on roads generally?
Okay. Take your point, Ken. You'd like to see more money spent on roads. Thank you for your call. Great to hear from you. 1300 510 222 if you would like to join the conversation. I'd love to get your thoughts this morning.